Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong, and they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong, and they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong, and they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Joyce and virgins, young men and old, the morning of turn to joy. My people shall be satisfied with the goodness of the Lord. La 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 la. Shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong, and they shall come and shout for joy from the heights of Zion. He who scattered Israel will gather him again. He who scattered Israel will gather him again. He who scattered Israel will gather him again.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I just want to know, did you three guys do something bad that you're all sitting in the corner over there? Oh, okay. Just curious. What's that?
They probably did something.
You know,
they're sneaky.
You know you did something. I mean, come on. All right. Blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Thank you.
Welcome, folks online. Sorry we're late. We we were up sleeping too much last night.
Okay. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and that is this song and prayer. How good and lovely are the tents of Jacob.
Matovu, O Halev HaYakov, Mishkenotera
place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, Asah Adonai, Shemayim ve'aretz, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shavi, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru B'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
for Jerusalem. Let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem.
Let there be peace, not war. For God will bless them. Bless them that love her.
So for the Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Isaac, can you turn the sound off on my phone just so we don't forget later? Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And there's a rabbi who's very sick. He's young, about my age, and he's dying of dementia. He can't even speak a sermon right now. We just found out a couple days ago on the internet. It's Rabbi Greenberg down in Georgia, and so I want to lift him up today, but we'll do that, but I want to pray for Israel. I also want to pray for Tom, wasn't feeling well, and not sure he's coming today, although Carrie said she's coming, but don't know if Tom's going to be making it here, so I want to pray for his health and his strength today. But let's pray, let's begin. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you promise to remove the partial hardening from your people Israel, Lord, that you promise that the hardening of your people is only partial, and that you will graft us back in again, and that in the end of days, your word says, we will come trembling to you and your goodness in the end of days, in the very last days, Lord, just like me, 26 years ago, I came trembling to you, Lord, truly trembling on my knees and on my face. In your goodness, and you received me, and you blessed me, and you have blessed me so much since, and you have more than I deserve, Lord. You have given me far more than I ever deserved. And so I just thank you for all the things you've done in my life, all the many blessings, and your goodness, and your loving kindness toward me, Lord, and all my friends here, and I'm sure they thank you too, Lord, and I know they do. And do you thank him? Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Are you awake? Hallelujah. Ooh, whoop, glory. All right, let's all do. Come on, one more time. One, two, three. Whoop, glory.
Whoop, glory.
All right, let's try that again out there in the peanut gallery. One more. One, two, three. Whoop, glory. Man, you guys are asleep today. All right, let's keep praying. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you make a way for Aliyah and Israel, Lord, that you bind the... we just thank you, Lord, that we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. And we say to that mountain that stands in the way of Aliyah and has stood in the way for decades and decades, that we say to that mountain, be removed and cast to the sea. Be thou removed and cast to the sea. We just bind the spirit that blocks Aliyah. We bind it. And we say to the spirit here, the spirit of Pharaoh here in this country, let my people go.
Yes.
Amen. Say that with me. Let my people go.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Let my people go in the name of Yeshua, Lord. And we just pray. We pray for the Messianic rabbis, Lord, that you would bless them and help them meet their needs and heal the sick ones. And we just pray, Lord, that you would bless our executives and give us executives who are really true fathers to us, Lord, who are like Eliakim and not like Shebna, who is self-seeking and into power and control and seeking self-gain. Remove that. And if there be any with that spirit, remove them. Give us leaders who are humble, who are fathers, who care about the flocks and care about those under them, Lord. In Yeshua's name, we just thank you, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, for our families, those who are unsaved. We pray, Lord, that you remove the blinders from their eyes, Lord. And Lord, I asked for at least three in my family to help me share, at least three. Just all I'm asking for to help me, Lord, is three people besides me who would be zealous for you, Lord, who would come to know you in these dark days. They would come to know you and help me to reach my big family, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would save them and open their eyes. And Lord, I pray for our brother Tom today. We just pray that you would, he overdid it. I don't know. He wasn't feeling well last night. And we just thank you, Lord, that you heal him, that you give him rest. And we pray that you bring him back to us, Lord. And you know what's going on in his life, Lord. And so you just help Tom, Lord, strengthen him, encourage his heart. And strengthen him today, Lord. Quicken his spirit today.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Bless Carrie, Lord. She's just a blessing and a joy, and just so seems so excited to be here. And we're just glad to have her. And she's been such a wonderful asset to our ministry already. She's been so involved in the water heater and the plumbing situation, and she's really taking charge of that. I'm just grateful. So we just thank you, Lord, and Diane too for helping with that as well. And Father, we just pray for all those who are not here, Lord. For you know who they are and you know what their needs are, Lord. We lift up Avi, and we just pray for Avi, who's supposed to be here, and we pray, Lord, that whatever's hindering her would remove that stone, Lord. Pray, Lord, for Karen, our friend Karen, towards Knoxville, Lord. We miss her, Lord, and we just pray you bless her and give her the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness, Lord. That you would give her the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness. I know that she's been so burdened for many years for her kids, and taking care of her parents and now her mother. Taking care of Mom, and we just pray for Karen, Lord. We pray for and who else do we need to pray for, y'all? We pray for Aja. Somebody pray for Aja.
Lord, I just lift up Aja to you. We ask Father for complete healing and for a recovery from the surgery that she recently had, and also that she's needing more surgery, I think, for her replacement shoulder.
Shoulder, yeah.
Yes. So that's also coming. And just give her grace, Lord, for all the medical issues that she faces on an ongoing basis. And we thank you for her personality and her, just the way she is. She's our little Aja, our little Aloha flower in our midst. And we thank you, Father, for Aja. We ask you bring her back to us. And she has such a will in her to live and to serve, to be here in your house, Father. So we thank you for that. In Yeshua's name, grant her the desires of her heart and give her what she needs, and for her future, Father. In Yeshua's name, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. And Lord, we do pray for America. We pray for this country. Lord, we pray that people's eyes would be opened to the things that are happening in this country, to the American Marxism that is rising, the tide of American Marxism that is rising in this country. And Lord, you told me that America's finest hour is still to come, and I believe that we will overcome that spirit of Marxism.
Yes,
it will be scattered and destroyed. It may it'll be weakened. It will be weakened, and we thank you for that, Lord. And you're going to do it, Lord.
Yes,
that it's
yes.
Something you're going to do, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. That we don't have the power to do it, but Lord, we trust that you're going to do it.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Servant of the Lord.
And now somebody want to do that? And now the Lord says.
And now the Lord says, he reformed Israel in the womb to be his servant.
To bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength.
Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob,
bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
What do you see?
A glorious throne on high, from ages beginnings, is the place of our sanctuary. Be open continually, not closed day or night, so that men shall bring you the wealth of the nations with kings led in procession. And the sons of you will come bowing to you, and call you the city of the Lord, the Zion,
the Holy One of Israel. Couple prayers to pray for William for his knee. We just pray for healing, Lord, for him.
Yes.
That you would heal him, Lord. Because I remember he was riding a bike just about 5 years ago, everywhere he went, and now he doesn't do that anymore. So we just pray, Lord, that you heal his knee and get him the help he needs, Lord. And Lord, I also want to pray for Buzz and Linda, Lord, who are driving up this way and want to get together. And I just want to pray for them for safe travel. And give your angels charge over them and keep them safe as they drive up this way. And look forward to getting together with them in the next couple of days. I want to give a praise report. I've been looking for over a month for a stonemason to fix my front step, and I found one. He's coming tomorrow, Monday. Coming to Monday to demo the front step and then rebuild a new one. So I'm just really thankful to God for that, and I pray that he does a good job. Pray for Nikki, Mr. Nikki, that he does a good job. And I was actually in Lowe's, and I saw a contractor I knew, and I asked him if he knew anybody, and he said this guy and his father were the best around. So I took that as a word. And so I just pray that he does a good job. And I thank you, Lord, that you're just taking care of these things at our home that need taking care of. And as we've gone through the fire, I've learned a lesson. I've been going through the fire with these home projects, and people have been giving me a hard time. But out of every trial, I get a discount. Seriously.
Hallelujah.
I had one major installation. They messed that up, caused me incredible aggravation, and they gave me $500 back. I had another situation with our water heater, which caused me incredible aggravation, and they gave me a free water heater, a free water heater. Yeah. I had more aggravation.
Hallelujah.
I had aggravation with the windows that I'm having put in, new windows, and so they messed that up, and they're giving me three windows installed for free. So
hallelujah.
I've learned something, that through tribulation and mess up, God can bring great discounts, blessings and discounts, and new windows, and water heaters, and blessings. Blessings and blessings. So when you're going through the fire, know that out of the fire comes God's blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're going through the fire in this country, but God's blessing is coming to us.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
What's
word.
That?
Vicky Peters.
Okay.
Vicky and Pat.
Why don't you, Dave, you want to come pray for them? You have a mic?
Take Anthony's. No.
Dave's going to pray. Come to the camera, Dave. Come stand right up in front of me. So the world can see you.
Which is unnecessary. Lord God, we thank you for all that you've done for us, for bringing us here together, and we miss many people that aren't here with us today. And some have many trials, things that I do not understand or do not completely know, such as Vicky. I know Vicky must be going through a considerable amount of pain and strife, concern, fear. And we ask that you descend upon her and bring light into her world and give her comfort and heal her of this sickness and bring her closer to you through the process.
Yes.
We also ask that you help Patty escape Canada and find her way into the United States where she wants to be and in our congregation. I haven't spoken to her in many, many months, but I know she's a friend of Carol's and she has needs. As well as her brother's issues, I'm not aware of, but I hope that you can not only heal him, but bring him to you as well. And of course, we miss Wendell and Maria. We haven't seen them in many, many months, and we hope that perhaps you can weigh upon their hearts to have them find the right place to be, and perhaps that will be with us. So we hope that that's the case, and we thank you for your love and your kindness. You've had such mercy on all of us. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. And I want to remember Wanda, Dave's wife. We just want to pray for her salvation. And we just thank you for Wanda. And we continue to pray for her salvation, that you would open her eyes and draw her to you, Lord. Compel her just in your wonderful way that you do, that you just draw us to you, to yourself, that you would... you're so much more powerful than Buddhism, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just bring her right out of that and draw her right to you.
Amen.
and give Dave happiness that he can have fellowship with his wife and true understanding and talk about things of God and teach her things that she doesn't know, and pray that you would give him the desire of his heart, that his wife would come to know you.
Yes.
Lord, and we just thank you for Wanta in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Please rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed. Yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivzecha v'vetecha, u'v'lechtecha v'aderech, u'v'shachbecha, u'v'kumecha, u'kisharta, liot al yadecha, v'hayu letotafot b'neinecha, וכתב תם על מזוזות ביתך ובישרך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Leolam Vahed, Adonai Oz Liamo Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Vashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like
your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns,
the Lord has reigned,
the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace. So remember, next time it rains, remember that the Lord reigns.
Amen.
He reigns. Hallelujah. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamvora.
Baruch Adonai Hamvora Elam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Baruch Elam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Halmim. Ne'natan Lanu Et Torto. Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the blessed one.
Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. You can stand. Okay, today's Torah portion is from Deuteronomy chapter 11 through chapter 16. And the half Torah is from the book of Isaiah chapter 54 through chapter 55. Today's Torah portion is entitled Ra'i, and it means to see. To actually see before you. And so today we're starting, this is the third week of the 7 weeks of comfort, which leads up to the High Holy Days. And the one today's is of the afflicted and storm tossed, which it comes from Isaiah chapter 54 in the weeks of comfort. You know, we're beginning the month of Elul, and this is a month that is very different on the calendar. It's a time we make actual effort to repent and to turn to God. That's what God is trying to get us to envision, that we need to turn back to him. It's a time of what is called in Hebrew of Yamin Noraim, which means we're into the days of awe. And I think that's certainly here in the United States and around the world, we're in the days of awe. You know, it tells us a time, this is a time, Noraim means the time of Teshuvah, which is a time of repentance. And it's 40 days. You know, 40 days is significant in the scriptures. Yeshua, you know, he fasted for 40 days and was in the desert for 40 days. Israel journeyed an additional 40 years in the desert before they actually went into the promised land. And also, I found it interesting with the temperature that the number 40 is the same in Celsius and Fahrenheit. It doesn't matter when you do the mathematics on it, the subtracting and dividing. You end back up with the same things. There's no difference. So it's the number 40. But it's, you know, Moses is getting another. He's been in the, up in Mount Zion for, I'm sorry, not Mount Zion, but he's been on the mountain for 40 days. And he went three different times to the mountain to pray and to seek God. And so we see that there was a number 40. That was Mount Sinai that I was talking about in the 40 days that he just returned from. But Moses today is making a dramatic appeal to Israel to choose and obey the commandments of the Lord. Because that was, you know, there were 613 mitzvahs, which are things that God has given to us to guide our lives. But when you look at this today, you'll see that the first two were actually verbal that God gave to Moses, and that was, I am the Lord your God. And the second was, you shall have no other gods before me. That would come from the oral Torah, the Talmud, which means that, you know, there was 631. And if you look at the math on that, you'll find that 365 of them are negative commands. That happens to be the number of days in the year. And then the other ones, there's 248 that are considered positive. And those, I'm not sure if that's all the bones and ligaments and stuff in the body, but I know it pertains to the human body, the 248. So we have 613. You know, with the U.S. law that we currently have, and actually the law came, it started with the Bible, the scriptures, and then it transcended to the Magna Carta, and then it ended up here in the United States, and that's how we're governed with our Constitution and the laws of our land. You know, what's interesting to note that if you read Revelation chapter 13, it tells us, it says, behold, another beast came, and the animal, it was an animal like a lamb with horns, and he spake as a dragon. I think today, if we looked at the world today, especially the U.S., we'll see that our government, form of government, I would call, is like of the lamb. It's of God. But the day is coming in the very future when it will become a law of the dragon. That's what the scripture says. It says it's a lamb, but it speaks as a dragon. So that is the law of the land today. You know, I was just looking, just at step to the side just a moment here with the destruction of everything that's going on in the world and what Moses is telling the Israelites to believe and to follow God's word. You know, that I was studying about the how you can destroy a democracy. It's not very complicated to do that. And you know, Israel is another democracy, and there's other democracies in the world, but I think Israel and the United States are probably the two most strongest
what are considered democracies in the world today. But if you want to get rid of a democracy and change it to another form of government, one of the things you do, you shape the truth and you control the media. The second thing is you shape the future of your schools and you control them, what the kids are learning. The third thing is you shape politics and you infiltrate the government. The fourth thing is you shape nationalism. You take it a multicultural and you remove any common language. Everything's just all muddled together. The next thing would be you shape the economy. You spend everything you can get and then you tax all the people and continue to tax them. The sixth thing is you open your borders and you allow your enemy to come and reside with you in your house. And the last thing is you shut down any type of discussion or any type of debate. You remove that from your government. And so that's the steps I think God, as we're moving up, as we're in the days of Noreen, that we're in those days of awe now, definitely in the United States and around the world, that God is telling us that, you know, Moses, as he was saying, God says, I set before you today, just like he did back when the Israelites were wandering in the desert. He says, I set before you today blessings and curses. You know, brachas, a lot of the Hebrew prayers began with that bracha, and it means to kneel. When you're actually praying, you're kneeling before God. You may not physically be kneeling, but your prayers are in the form of a kneel to God. And so God is telling us to curse adultery. Idolatry, because it is destroying the world. You know, I was reading about in this scripture this week. It was called Atel is one of the words in Hebrew that's in there, and it means to destroy or a great paganism. And I was realizing that as I studied that one of the biggest places of paganism in Israel today is Tel Aviv, which is part of that word Tel. And it means this great destruction upon the people. And that's Tel Aviv because they say homosexuality and other perversions are rampant in the city of Tel Aviv. I've been there. It's a very beautiful city. But, you know, God is telling us that we are to destroy things that are related to idolatry. You know, in 1967, if Israel had been following the covenants of God and the commands of God, we would not have the situation in Israel today with the Temple Mount, because God's word tells us if it's paganism, you are to uproot it. You are to cut down the trees, and the Temple Mount now is covered in trees. There's playgrounds. There's a trash dump up there, and it's just a place of destruction up there. But God says tear down their high places, cut down the trees, smash down their altars, burn the poles, and remove all presence of idolatry. In 1967, Israel had the opportunity to take back the Temple Mount and destroy all of the paganism and the things that's going on the Temple Mount today. But they did not, through pressures of other governments, they elected to not take over the Temple Mount. So that's where we're at today. I think now that occasionally they'll let people go up and pray, but it's not very often that they're permitted to prayer. You're not allowed to close your eyes or bow or kneel or anything like that that's in the form of a prayer. You can be arrested and taken from the Temple Mount. But we did not follow God's word. And when you don't follow God's word, you definitely will not come out on top, because God's word is true and it does not change. His word will not change. If you read the Torah portion today, you'll find out about the types of offerings or the tithes that were given. The first one is Maaser or Esan, which is a tenth of all the farmers produced, was given to the tribe of Levi, which included the priests, and that was to support them because their part of the land of Israel was God. That was their part, working in the temple and taking care of the things of God. The second one was Asher Shineh, which means that was the land was the second tithe, and that was given appointed place of worship, and there when it was brought in, you would eat your tithe there. So it was a time of fellowship with God, because the tithe of the land would be brought in. That would be the agricultural products, and they would be consumed there as part of the tithe. The last one is Maaser Ani, which is the third tithe, and that was given to the people who were poor, and that was brought at an appointed time by God. But that was, you know, but when they cultivated and took the crops, they also were able, the people who did not have anything and they were poor and needed assistance, then they were allowed to glean from the land and take a portion of what was left. They always left a portion in their crops, in their farms or gardens that was for the poor that they could go and get food from. You know, and we're talking about the 7 year of the Shemitah. Does anybody know when the next Shemitah year will be? I happened to look it up. It starts September the 7th this year. That'll be the Shemitah. It'll be the 17th, which will be the new year of 5782. So it'll run from September the 7th, 2021, through September the 7th, 2022. Wow, we're just moving right along with the years. So it's another Shemitah. So it's another year, and 50 years are called to be the year of the Yovel. And that's when the land was to rest. And I think I've told you before, when I was a little boy, my parents had a farm. They used to, the land, certain times they would let the land rest. They wouldn't cultivate it. Of course, I was a child. I did not know what that meant. But they did the Shemitah thing. I didn't realize that till years later what they were doing. But they would not, whatever grew, they just let it grow. They didn't cut it down. And if someone wanted an animal or someone wanted it, they would come and get it. But my parents did not. That time of the year, they would not cultivate the land and make anything grow. So we're commanded also at the year of the Shemitah. It's a time to be generous. It's a time that we should be willing to help the poor and to help others in the year of the Shemitah, and that's coming. Deuteronomy chapter 15 tells us that the Lord your God will bless you in all your work, and all your undertaking will be in abundance. So God is telling us if we follow his commandments and we honor him and listen to his word, then we will not have any, we'll end up in heaven. That's the place to end up, is where God wants us to be. And so that's the Torah portion today. Shabbat Shalom.
Et ha'imim la'machazikim bo v'tomecha me'ushan d'racheha d'archeno v'chol nativotecha shalom ashivenu Adonai Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Renew our days as of old. Bring us back to you, Lord. That's why we come to Shabbat. Amen. So that we can be brought back to him, back into his presence. Whatever happened during the week, whatever things that were pulling us away, whatever disappointments, whatever trials and tribulations, when we come into his presence, when we set this time apart, we light the candles last night, and we say, blessed are you, O Lord our God, who is blessed and tells us to set this day apart for you. And it's not just for Yeshua, it's for us. Amen? Mm-hmm. Because when we set it apart, we take a disciplined attitude that we're going to set aside all the things of what we normally do aside, and we're going to just focus on putting our heart in his hands and what he has for us. So that's what we do for 24 hours from sundown Friday night till tonight. Amen? Amen. And if it goes long, you know, we're going to be worshiping for eternity. So if we're here till a while, do you think that God really cares about that? You know, and when we're in here, his presence, time just stands still. And I thank the Lord. I love coming into the house of the Lord because time stands still when we are here. Amen? Whether it's worship, whether it's the word, it's just God is here and we are with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's return to him. Let's bring our hearts back to him. Return to him today. I want to welcome visitors. I think all of us are family today in the house, but I want to welcome those who are online. And those of you who are regular onliners, we thank you for supporting and continuing to watch and be a part of our online community. We love to communicate with you in whatever way, so let us know. You know, you can go onto the Facebook page and message and ask, you know, we can interact in that way. Or you can email us, and the email is on the website there. So, as well as the telephone number, we don't have someone in the office all the time, but we try to be good about getting messages. So if you leave a message there, we should be able to pick it up and respond to you. Praise the Lord. So just a few announcements. Rabbi's going to be bringing an awesome message here in a few minutes. What's the title?
What are words for?
What are words for? So that's sounds interesting. So stay tuned. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have some worship in the spirit and let God minister to you during the worship, the music and the dance, and then the word. And then after that, we're going to have Oneg. Is that correct? I brought some stuff, so hopefully we can all eat together, and everyone's welcome to join. Praise the Lord. Just a couple announcements. As I said before, Rabbi's working on a newsletter, and I'm starting to edit, and hopefully we'll be able to get that put together and ready to print and mail this week. So any of you who would be willing to come in. I'm not sure which day they're planning downstairs. Vicki, I think it's going to be Robin who's going to be organizing. You know, either contact Robin or leave a message if you can make it so she knows on the office phone number. Just leave a message, say, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so, I'd like to come, and this is my phone number. You know, let me know what time. And so you can leave a message, and she'll also be calling people to solicit for help. And we thank everyone who comes because you're doing a great ministry. We're coming together. We have a good time, but we're also, you know, standing for Israel. So those of you who come, there's quite a few who just come for the newsletter mailing that are part of our ministry family, and that's kind of their service to the Lord for Israel. And so that's a great way that you can serve Israel in our communities. Come and help with the newsletter. We hope that you, if you can, you will. As I said, just call the office. I don't have a time or a day yet. Leave your name and number.
Looking at Thursday?
Yeah. Okay. So Thursday usually starts at 10.
We always have prep. There's people can come in early and get
if you can come early to get things prepped. Any day before Thursday, but then Thursday sounds like is going to be the official day that we're going to finish it off. It goes from 10 till 4. We do all the taping and the labeling. But if you can come any other day before that, we just need to know when you can come, and we can arrange to make sure you can come in and help. So, The other thing is, we've got calendars. Would someone bring me a calendar up front? They're sitting in the box back there.
Are they new?
What do you mean?
Are they new calendars?
Yes.
No.
No. So we just ordered. These are the new calendars for the upcoming year. It's a beautiful art calendar. As usual, all of you know that when we get our calendars, they're just beautiful. And they continually remind us of Israel. So when you hang them in your kitchen or whatever, it's not just a calendar. It's a work of art. So who's our artist this time, Rabbi?
I don't know the artist's name, but I'll try to find some of the artwork to show.
So this is it's beautiful artwork. It's very kind of modern, and a lot of the Israeli artwork has the Word of God, it has the Bible infused in the artwork, and so it's very unique. You don't find this in any kind of other art. So it's a lot of times just scenes from Israel or from the Bible with the Word of God included in the picture itself, and you can't, it's so tiny.
Every page has a verse.
Yeah, and there's also Hebrew writing. I think this one features the Psalms. So it's a 16-month biblical calendar, September 21 to December 22. Do we have a price?
I think they're $18.
$18.
So
and
if you need us to ship it to you, just add $3.
It's $18, and if you want it shipped, just send $21, and that'll include the shipping. We'll send it right out to you. So there we are. And speaking of the calendars, we're going to also I'm going to look in here, our first important date from the Lord, because all our God's important dates are in this biblical calendar, right? And I'm not going to get it wrong this time. I gave you wrong date. It's a couple weeks ago. But Rosh Hashanah, which is the fall feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, begins September 6th and 7th. We will be letting you know what dates we're going to have, what special services, and so just stay tuned for that. Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, is on the 15th and the 16th of September, and then Sukkot begins on the 20th and ends on the 28th of September. Everything's in September, so, you know, you might as well just take a vacation in September and celebrate the Lord. Amen? He's got some things he wants to say to us during these appointed times. They're like appointments. They're like, okay, God's saying this is my time. I want to, you've been coming every Shabbat, and I've been speaking to you. Now I want some focused, you know, we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to have a planning meeting with everybody. We're going to talk about things of the future. We're going to plan it out. That's what God says. It's special meetings. And each one of these meetings, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, have things that he wants to discuss with us and go over with us, whether it's personal, whether it's pertaining to understanding his word, whether it's prophetic, understanding the future and what is to come. Many of those things are addressed. And if you don't understand the future, if you don't understand prophetic things, if you don't understand the end times, all of these things will be addressed by the Lord. And under the holy guidance of the Holy Spirit, Rabbi's going to have some wonderful things in store for us. So set those dates apart for God. Amen? And invite friends. Be a great time to introduce someone to the Jewishness of the Gospels and to understand our Bible from his original perspective. And I always say that God is Jewish, you know, because he's the one who created the Jewish nation that we know today, all the cultural aspects of Israel come from the Bible and derive from God's word and his spoken command directly. So, you know, when we talk
about all the good ones.
Right, the good ones. So when we talk about, you know, the feast of the Lord, the feast, the Jewish feast, we're talking God and the Jews did the, you know, this is together. This is God's word, who he is. All right. Let's, I'm going to turn it back to you, Rabbi. Is there anything else I missed?
No, you did a fantastic job. I just, we are having a congregational outing scheduled for Sunday,
yes,
the 22nd. I have rented a pontoon boat for us. So we have two boats to go out together on the lake and on I won't name the lake, but it's a local, it's a lake around here, and to protect the innocent. I guess it's okay to name the lake, huh, Dave? Is it okay? Dave doesn't mind. All right, it's South Holston Lake. But anybody, any friends of the ministry, anybody watching, anybody wants to join us. And I need to know those who are here. I just need to keep seeing show of hands, because I've rented it already, and it's. I see Carol back there. Does that mean Billy and Xavier is three of you?
Maybe right. You should send around a sign up sheet.
Okay, maybe we could do that.
That would probably be good. Then we know for sure who's going to be there.
Can I just see hands anyway? Is any other people coming? Two over. We got two with the Sheltons. Two with the Wises. Sharon, is that you? Did you? Maybe. Sharon's a maybe. And Earl. Earl's bringing five. Just teasing you, Earl.
If Aja finds out,
and
she's
Carolyn's coming.
She's definitely one of them.
All right. So, yeah, we definitely going to need that pontoon boat. Okay, so... I'm not charging y'all. This is, we want to bless, but it's going to be about $450, $475 for the day. Let's just say $500 for that pontoon boat. So we got 50 last week. If anybody feels so inclined to contribute toward that, feel free to add that. We're going to take our tithes and offerings, and it's going to be a beautiful day on the lake, provided it's sunny, of course. We'll go out from, we have the boat from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I will try to take us out in the shade during the heat of the day into a shady spot, and because I'm a shady rabbi. But and then I will take us in the sun at appropriate times so that we can get sun and shade combined. Amen? But it is lovely, it is tranquil, it is peaceful, it is clean, and it's a beautiful place to spend time with God, and we'll have some prayer and some worship together on the boat, I will walk on water for you. That's one of the side shows of the trip. Just kidding.
A miraculous performance.
Performances by the rabbi. and no, seriously, and though, we will have a picnic. And each one, bring your own lunchbox, what you want. So we won't have tables to spread things out. We won't have crock pots. So just bring a packed lunch. Bring some drinks. You know, if you have a little cooler. If you don't have a cooler... let us know, and we'll let you share one of ours. Just, you know, pack a sandwich, pack some chips, and you want some carrots or veggies or fruit, whatever you like, you know, whatever you're into. But just bring some water and to drink, and bring a bathing suit if you want to swim, and a towel. You're going to need a towel. And if you don't want to swim, you don't have to bring a bathing suit. Bring a little light jacket in case you get windy when we're out there. Can get a little windy, especially if you're wet and you're in the boat's driving and you're wet. It's nice to have a little windbreaker or a, you know, sport tennis jacket or something. Anyway, okay, let's continue with our offering. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this ministry that you've blessed us with, this family, this beautiful family, precious little family of God here at For Zion's Sake Ministries and our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, Lord. The congregation that starts a half an hour after we say we do. And Lord, we know we're really testing people to see if they're faithful. So if you're there and you're watching us on TV, you're awesome because you waited for us. And we hope that we have something really good for you coming. I believe God's given me a good word for you. So, we just thank you, Lord, for these offerings, and we just bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold. And let's remember the poor, those who are in need. We have a basket there. If you have some spare change, we're instructed to give alms to the poor. And so if you'd like to contribute to help the needs of those who are in need, people in need, who come to us. God bless you as you give. And if those watching online, feel free to contribute if you'd like. If you get fed at this ministry, we thank you for blessing us back and giving back for what you receive. And may God bless you all as you give. In Yeshua's name, amen.
What are we doing, sweetheart?
We're going to do Babe, and if I come, okay. Then we'll do Welcome Home right
okay.
After that.
Okay.
The day the Messiah comes, the day the Messiah comes, we'll welcome him in and ask where he's been. The day the Messiah comes.
So everybody, let's sing.
Oh, the day the Messiah comes. The day the Messiah comes. We'll welcome him in and ask where he's been. On the day the Messiah comes. And after a glass of latte, he'll tell us what's yet to be. And won't it be wonderful? Walk in a world that is free. When hatred no Messiah's here. When the Messiah's here. With love in the air and joy everywhere. There'll be nothing on earth to fear. And after a glass of latte, he'll tell us what's yet to be. And won't it be wonderful, oh my friend, to walk in a world that is free. No hatred, no war, no strife. Oy, what a beautiful life. That's how it will be for you and for me on the day the Messiah comes.
So everybody,
the day the Messiah comes. Day the Messiah comes. We'll welcome him in. Ask where he's been on the day the Messiah comes. After a glass of latte, he'll tell us what's yet to be. And won't it be wonderful, oh my friend, to walk in a world that is free. No hatred, no war, no strife. Oy, what a beautiful life. That's how it will be for you and for me on the day the Messiah comes.
As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home.
As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. Jesus is coming, coming to the earth. From his land will take us home. Jesus is coming, coming to the earth. We'll leave the sadness we
have known. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. We are going, going to God's house to see the one that we've adored. We are going, going to God's house, to the open arms of the Lord. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home.
Those are some songs that we used to sing. We traveled the world as musical missionaries, and we haven't done one of those, The Day the Messiah Comes, and we haven't done it in 23 years.
Well, and maybe it's been less than that, but it's been a while.
20 years.
Maybe. Let's start with Odie, and then we'll go to Psalm 30. Odie Shama, and then Psalm 30. Hallelujah. Let's all... God says that we need to put on the garment of praise. So what exactly does that mean? It's like some of you have a tallit on, or I have a scarf, so I can take it off. It's not part of me. It's not who I am. Right there. There's my scarf. Okay. Oh, I like that scarf. I'm going to put it on. Huh. All right. I didn't have it before. Now I have it because I put it on. So that's how praise is. It's not about what you feel. It's about what you do.
Yes.
And
Amen.
What happens after you put it on is, wow. Of course, I look at myself in the mirror and I say, that looks pretty good. I look better. And when the guys put their tallit on, don't they look handsome with their tallit?
Yes, they do.
So you put your tallit on, you say a prayer. How many of you say the little prayer before you put your tallit on? Anthony does. Hallelujah. So let's put a tallit on of praise, a scarf, and let's praise him. Hallelujah. All right, stand up, clap your hands, tap your feet. Give him your heart. Odi Shama Be'areyuda Uve'achutzo Yerushalayim. Odi Shama Be'areyuda Uve'achutzo Yerushalayim. Ko'o Sason Be'ko'o Simcha Ko'o Hatan Be'ko'o Kahala. joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. Oh, Shama Be'ari Yehuda, Uve Hatzoyer Shalayim. Oh, Ki Shama Be'ari Yehuda, Uve Hatzoyer Shalayim. Oh, Sosom Be'kohasim, Bohasam Be'kohala, Sosom Be'kohasim. Shall be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Again shall be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. Oh, lie, lie, lie.
Of praise. What is how what's the rest of that verse? How's it go? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. So if you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, what's going to happen to the spirit of heaviness if we put on the garment of praise? It's going to leave. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about being fake. It's about doing what God tells you to do.
Yes.
And then he's going to bring you into another place. It's gonna. He's and Rabbi's gonna have a glass of tea. Because Yeshua said, "Whoever's thirsty, let him come and drink from the waters of life freely." So let's be free in the Spirit.
Let yourself go. Let ourselves not be bound by what we think, but by what God says. Amen? Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of love. Drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of love. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. Drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, come on. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. Drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. And the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. Whoever's hungry, let him come. Whoever's needy, let him come. La 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 la. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever knows him, let him come. Whoever loves him, let him come. And drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. Drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. Drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. Drink from the waters of life. Freely drink from the waters of life. Hallelujah. And that's what God says, to be free. Sometimes we just have to shake it off and say, let me be free.
Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. Hallelujah. Baruch haba Hashem.
Hallelujah.
If you would turn my headset on, please. We're going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai. So if you're at home watching and if you're driving 70 miles an hour, just stop where you are. And no, just kidding. Don't do that. Seriously, though, if you have some grape juice, fruit of the vine, or some crackers and or bread, whatever you have, God will bless it, I'm sure, if you do it with a pure heart. So we invite you to join us as we go to the Lord's table, and so take a couple minutes to get yourself ready. I'm going to go and I'm going to bless the bread and the juice. We have. Okay. We have these little cups that we got. They're anti-COVID cups, as far as I know. They're made in China. Just kidding. They're made in Peoria. Seriously, I'm sorry. So, praise the Lord. Isn't it not, you know, God has a sense of humor. He does. He made me. And that's how I know God has a sense of humor. You know. It was Passover night. And Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, which we Jews take at every Passover meal. And he blessed it. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Now, up until that point, no Jew had ever taken the third cup, known as the cup of redemption, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Had he been in Nazareth in his synagogue, they probably would have taken him to the cliff and thrown him off again. But, or tried to anyway. They didn't succeed the first time, and they probably wouldn't have succeeded the second time either. But that's what they would have done for saying that this is the new covenant in his blood. You know, most Jews don't realize that God made a new covenant. Most Jewish people who don't believe in the Messiah are unaware of Jeremiah 31:31, which says, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with them in that day, and I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And so, God promised, first of all, for you Jews, Jewish people, friends, fellow Jews of mine, I was raised Jewish, very Jewish, Hebrew of Hebrews, related to Rabbi Soloveitchik. If you don't know him, look him up. Most Jews think that they're under Moses, and most Jews believe that we have a covenant with God through Moses. But God says, if you read your Bible, and this is the problem with not just Jewish people, Christians don't read their Bible. And this, am I right? Christians don't read their Bibles enough. And so, you know, we're so busy on Facebook and looking in phones that people don't read their Bibles. And you know what? These are not times to be looking in phones as much. We need to be reading our Bibles more and understand the times we're living in. But Jewish people don't know that God made a new covenant. And so I'm going to tell you what the rabbis won't. He promised in Jeremiah 31:31, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." And it was a Passover night when Yeshua said, "Tonight's the night." Everybody say, "Tonight's the night." Tonight's the night. And he said, "Tonight's the night." He said, "This cup, this Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri hagafen, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine." And he blessed the cup, and he said, "This cup, this third cup of redemption at Passover, the cup taken after the meal, is the new covenant in my blood." So he wasn't saying the cup wasn't his blood, but he was saying, I'm going to pour out my blood for you today, on this day, on this Passover. Roman soldiers are going to scourge me 39 lashes, and they're going to crucify me and put nails in my hand and hang me up on a cross and beat me and punch me and spit on me, and I'm going to suffer for you because I love you, and I'm going to pay the price for your sins to be your bridegroom, Israel and Judah. Hallelujah. And all who would accept that and join with Israel and Judah, they can be the bride too. Glory to God. Now, God made a covenant with the Jewish people. And then he took the bread, which we call afikomen, and Jews call it dessert, but he said, this bread, he blessed it, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And he took that afikomen, that little piece of bread that every host breaks at Passover and distributes to the people after the meal, which is taken together with the third cup of wine. And he said, this afikomen is my body given for you. This little piece of broken bread is my body given for you. Because that day, his body was going to be broken. Not broken bones, but broken physically. He was going to be destroyed. And he was destroyed. They destroyed him. But he died. He was buried 3 days and three nights after being crucified. And then he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, rising in a glorified body. Hallelujah. And whoever believes in him has eternal life, forgiveness of sin, will go to paradise. I mean, just the blessings that God offers for those who believe is amazing. So if you don't know Yeshua, just say right now, wherever you are, just say, Yeshua, I want those blessings. I don't want to be worm food when I die. I want to go to heaven. I want to be in paradise. I want to be in your kingdom. I want to be with you. I want a glorified body. I want you to forgive my sins. And I confess that I have sinned against you, Lord. And so please forgive me. And just ask him to forgive you your sins and to bring you eternal life. And give you the hope of heaven when you die. Because we're all going to die. You know that, don't you? We're all going to die one day. And so I invite all believers in the Messiah who've received the grace of forgiveness of through his blood and the new covenant promises that through the blood and through the body to come to the table and take these this bread and this juice. And so let's take it together in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Bring me the mask.
Check. All right. Before Rabbi goes into the message, I want to ask that we come and pray for him, especially maybe the men gather around. He's been experiencing really an uptick in his pain in his back. So I'm going to ask him to come forward here, and maybe the men can surround and just pray over him. So just a lot of, I guess, stressful things going on, and but I just sense that the issue with his back is spiritual. And let's just lift him up today and pray against those things that are attacking him and release him and Yeshua's name. So who would like to begin? Tom, would you like to pray?
Our Father, we thank you so much that we can gather together on this Shabbat day and lift our brother up and lift him before your throne and ask your Spirit to move and to heal him, to drive away this Satan, Hasatan, and anything he's trying to do to defeat the ministry, defend the clearness of mind, and just make his ways straight, make his path smooth, move out of the way any stones in health or anything else that could be in the path, as you promise in your word.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just we bind the enemy. We bind his tactics. We bind the plans of the enemy and all the assignments against him and any cords that have been bound generationally or attached. We break them in Yeshua's name. We plead the blood of Yeshua over him. And we thank you, Father, that you release freedom of movement in his back. And we come against the binding, constant binding on him. In Yeshua's name, we tell you to get off of him, and we release him to be free in the spirit and to release the word of the Lord in freedom. And we thank you, Father, in Yeshua's name. We thank you, Lord, for his prophetic word. And we ask, Lord, that you would protect that anointing, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, we just pray for Rabbi Yosef now, Lord, that you would just bless him, Lord. He's been through a lot in the past few years, Lord, and we know that your hand and your grace is upon him now, Lord. And we just pray that Satan will not have any part of him, Lord, that you will move Satan away from him, that he can have some peace and rest, Lord, as he studies your word and hears and abides by what you're wanting, Heavenly Father. We just pray that you will anoint him now, remove any pain in his body right now, Heavenly Father, and keep Satan far away from him right now, Lord. We just rebuke Satan, the devourer. He's the stealer of our soul, Lord. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you will move him far from Rabbi, far from this congregation today, Lord. And just bless him and lift him up today, Lord, and let him know that you have brought him this far, not to leave him destitute, Lord, not to leave him in sickness, but in health, Lord. And that's what we pray today, is help upon him today, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Lord God, thank you for bringing Rabbi to us all. You came to him and you blessed him. You blessed him with salvation. You blessed him with wisdom. You made him a rabbi, and you brought him to a place that he least wanted to be so that he could bless all of us. And we have been blessed by him, and we thank you for him. And you've placed many burdens upon him, and there's very significant burdens with cancer and with his back, etc. And you have reasons for all the things that you do, but we ask you to relieve him of this pain and this stress. Give him strength. Heal him, Father. Perhaps it's time. Give him mercy as he's given us mercy through his word, through your word.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you. you. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everybody. I receive it. Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay, bring them up. Pray for his legs. Why don't you anoint him? I can't get down there. Lord, we just pray for Joshua, who's having shin splints. And we just pray, Lord, that you heal his shins. And I pray, Lord, that he would seek you. You would be his strength, his shield, his fortress, and his strong tower, Lord. And that he would rely on you and trust in you and not in horse. We said your word says not to trust in horses or in chariots, but to trust in the Lord God of Israel. Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we just thank you, Lord, that you heal his shins, Lord, and anything else that ails him, Lord, his back. Heal his back as well, Lord. We pray in the name of Yeshua. Yes. Thank you, Father. Touch his back. Yes. Relax the muscles and just restore him to full function, Lord. Help him in Yeshua's name, we pray. Watch over him as he's out there on that football field, Lord. Watch over him. Give him grace and have mercy on him, Lord. You told me when he was just a little tyke running up the driveway, that boy's going to be a football player, you said to me. And he's been playing since he was 6 years old. So your word came to pass. And I believe if you called him to do it, that you're going to enable him to do it. So, Lord, take away anything that's hindering him. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you for praying. And, Josh, I'll pray for the word, then we'll start. Today's word is called "What are words for?" I don't know if that's the best title for the message, but the message is about words and the power of words, and so we're going to talk about that. We're going to kind of review a little bit about what we've done, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the Word and that you are the rock that was with Moses in the wilderness, Lord, that the Bible is your story. It's all about you. It is all about you, that you are God, that you are the Lord, and that this may be a radical concept, but it's you speaking in the Old Testament. You're the one speaking. You're the one speaking from the fire, from the burning bush. You're the one speaking to Abraham as Melchizedek. You're the one speaking to Jacob at Bethel. You're the one speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden. And you're the one speaking. You're the Word. You are the Word. And all things were created by you, and all things were created through you. And you spoke all things that were created, you spoke into existence. So we just thank you, Lord, that you are God and you are Yeshua. You are the Messiah, you are the Son, and all authority under heaven and in heaven and earth has been given to you by the Father. Has given all authority unto the Son. And we can only know the Father. We can only hear the Father through the Son. And so you are fully God, the Father is fully God, and the Holy Spirit is fully God. And we honor all of them. But we know that the voice of the Bible is your voice. It's your word, because you are the Word. The Bible says so. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. So we just praise you that you are the Word of God. And so now we just bless this message, anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and bind the enemy, and bring forth your word today. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Are we on there, Josh? You got a close up? Am I close enough? Or shalom, friends on Facebook. Shalom, everybody watching. Thank you, Josh. For the past several weeks, we have been studying about the bride and the bridegroom of Messiah. Last week, I demonstrated how Yeshua promised to betroth himself to Israel in Hosea 2:19, how Israel committed spiritual harlotry against her bridegroom by chasing after false gods, which is idolatry, and other sins. Finally, how Yeshua graciously used the prophet Hosea's story of his own prostitute wife, who he purchased for himself in Hosea chapter 3. The prophet purchased back his wife, who had gone to be a prostitute and left the marriage. He had to buy her back, though he was already married to her. A picture of Messiah paying the bride price with his life for us. By purchasing back his wife is the same as when Israel broke its covenant with God, Jeremiah 31:31, and many other places where God condemns Israel for breaking the marriage covenant that he made with Israel to be his bride, and God says he purchased us back with the blood of his Son. He paid the price for us to come back, just as Hosea's wife was purchased as a harlot. She was bought. So Hosea paid the price for her and used his prostitute wife. Then how Hosea lovingly and affectionately promised to love his unfaithful wife again, and that she would stay with him from then on, as the children of Israel would turn to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. It says in Hosea 3, that we would come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. Last week we learned how both the ancient and the modern Jewish wedding begins with the rabbi calling to the bridegroom to come forward to the altar with these words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is how every Jewish wedding begins, every traditional Jewish wedding, every Messianic Jewish wedding begins. So these words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the words so familiar to us, spoken by Yeshua himself, who said, you will not see me again, Jerusalem, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Nobody will see him. Nobody will see him, he says, until Jerusalem calls for him with those words. He says, nobody. You will not see me again, Jerusalem, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's the words used to start every Jewish wedding. That's what the rabbi says when the bridegroom is standing at the back of the room in the synagogue, And the rabbi calls, or wherever, if they're out in a lovely place, in a garden, wherever it is, in a Jewish wedding, and the rabbi calls, and he says, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, and that's when the bridegroom begins to come down the aisle, escorted usually by his parents, or a parent, or a grandparent,
And he's handed off to the rabbi, and he stands at the altar as he waits for his bride. Okay, so nobody will see him until Jerusalem, and likely a group of Messianic Jews and rabbis who know those words, know what to call out, who will know when to call them and what to say. Then the whole world will see their Messiah coming on the clouds with power and great glory, Matthew 24:30. But not before Jerusalem calls him first. Last week we spoke of how Yeshua renewed his marriage covenant, first with a promise of a renewed covenant in Jeremiah 31:31, then at the Last Supper, how he lovingly washed his disciples' feet, fulfilling the requirement of the mikvah, the ritual purification bath, before every Jewish wedding, and telling the 12, if you do not let me do this for you, then you have no part with me, i.e., if I do not completely clean you, you cannot be my bride. That should bring you to tears. Next, we saw how Yeshua sent out his apostles like Paul to be kinsmen redeemers to the assemblies, at Corinth, where in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul amazingly betrothed the Corinthian congregation as a pure virgin to Messiah, and how, although we only see one example of it in the Bible, the apostles must have... What's the problem? Excuse me, what? Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back. Next, we saw how Yeshua sent out his apostles like Paul to be kinsmen redeemers to the assemblies, like at Corinth, where in 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul amazingly betrothed the Corinthian congregation as a pure virgin to Messiah. Think about this. Paul said to the Corinthians, I, Paul, betroth you to Messiah as a pure virgin. I, Paul. By what right did this guy, who wasn't even one of the original 12, by what right did he have to say to the congregation, and I say that word congregation with intention, and I'll explain why. What right did he have to betroth them? Who is he? He was an apostle. He was a rabbi. He was ordained. He was sent by God. He was the father of that church, of that congregation. He planted that congregation. He built it. He created it. He started it, and then he went on and started other ones and left somebody there he could trust to run it. He was the papa. Everybody say the papa. He was the papa. And so he was the one to betroth, and not only that, as a kinsman redeemer who has to be a Jew, a kinsman redeemer can only be a Jew, and he betrothed them who weren't Jewish to the Jewish Messiah because he had that connection, and just as Joseph had the right stuff, he had the lineage to be the king of Israel. He was the heir of Solomon's line. Joseph, as in Joseph and Mary, would have been, if there had been a kingdom in his day, would have sat on the throne of David. Joseph was the only one who had the lineage, the proper had the right to pass that inheritance on to Yeshua, to Jesus. In the same way, Paul, as a Jew and as the father of that assembly, had the authority and the right to be their kinsman redeemer and give them the blessing of being the bride. And the father always chose the bride for his son. And so even though Paul wasn't the father, he was God's messenger on earth to do the job. And that's, we see that in the same in the story of Abraham, where Abraham sends his messenger, his most trusted servant, to pick a bride for his son Isaac. And we see a very similar parallel where that servant, that most trusted servant, he betroths the Rebekah,
to be the bride of Isaac. Okay, so let's go on here. So Yeshua sent out apostles like Paul. Now, we only see this once in the Bible. You know, it's an amazing verse. We see it once. Does that mean it's not real? Sometimes a history-changing verse appears in only one sentence. Sometimes a verse that changes, that affects history forevermore, only appears in one time. Let's give me a couple examples here. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And only once was the virgin birth mentioned in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 7:14. Only once was she mentioned, that the prophecy of the virgin birth. Once. Everybody say once. But yet, that prophecy changed the course of history and affected billions of believers and non-believers, Catholics, Christians, Muslims, people who know of Mary, people who worship Mary, people who know who Mary is, people who know about Tammuz, people who know all about the different aspects of Mariology. So that one verse changed the world. It was a prophecy of the virgin birth. Let's look at some more. The Son of God, the concept of the Son of God, that God has a son, it's in the Old Testament. It's in the Tanakh. Jewish friends, if you're watching today, the concept that God has a son is actually in the Jewish Bible. It's in the Tanakh. Christians call that the Old Testament. The Tanakh is an acronym for the Torah, the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the writings, the Ketuvim. But the Son of God is in the Bible four times, and I'm going to tell you where they are. In Psalm 2, God references that he has a son, and he tells us it's a parallel chapter to John 3:16, where he says, "Do homage to the Son, lest ye perish in the way if you don't do homage to him." Honor, or other verses say, kiss the Son or honor the Son, lest ye perish. Whereas the parallel verse in the New Testament is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." So God's telling us in Psalm 2, honor the Son, in other words, believe in the Son, and you won't perish. Parallel verses. Okay. Daniel 3:5, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fiery furnace, and there's a fourth man in the fire. The Bible says, one like a son of God. Hallelujah. Was the Son of God. It wasn't just one like a son of God. It was the Son of God in the fire. He was used to being in the fire. He was in the burning bush with Moses. Well, not with Moses, but right in front of Moses. And he said, "Moses, take your shoes off. This is holy ground." Proverbs 30, verse 4. It says, "Who has ascended to heaven? Who has descended from heaven? What is his name?" Let me read it better than quote it, because I'm not quite as familiar with it. So Proverbs 30, verse 4. The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, the oracle. The man declares to Ithiel, in verse 4, "Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name or his son's name? Surely you know." Surely you know. And then, of course, you all know the scripture in Isaiah 9, which Christians sing about at Christmas. "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so we are told that God will have a son with the name El Gibor, the Mighty God. Now, Jews know that El Gibor is one of the handful of names for the big guy. Okay? The Mighty God. El Gibor, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai, Nisi, the Lord our banner. All these names are names for the big guy, okay? So when you call God the Mighty God, El Gibor, that's a name for the big guy. So this son is somehow pretty tight with the big guy in Isaiah 9:6. Also calls him Eternal Father. So the son is somehow connected. He's the Eternal Father. It's a mystery. I can't explain it to you. It's beyond my comprehension. I just know that he's God. Okay, and I believe in the Son of God. So four times in the Old Testament, amazing, the Son of God appears, and yet even so, his disciples and the Jews didn't know who they weren't expecting a Son of God. Nobody was expecting a Son of God to appear. Even with those four verses in the Bible, they weren't expecting him. Praise God. Amazingly, the Son is the Word of God himself. The voice of the Bible itself was mentioned four times in the Tanakh directly as God's Son, yet no one, as I said, no disciple understood until after he was crucified. Yes, one single verse can mean so much, friends, that we don't understand. Just one verse can be life-changing. The Messianic rabbi as kinsman redeemer to the Christian, should they embrace him. The rabbi just waiting to be embraced so he can bless his Christian friends with all the blessings of Israel, because the kinsman redeemer must be a man and he must be a Jew. It is the job of the kinsman redeemer to bless the sojourner with the inheritance of a lost husband or a father. But I am not here today to review last week. I'm here to point out words and verses in the scripture that have changed the trajectory of the church, even the word church itself. Words and phrases in the Bible that have de-emphasized, de-Jewified. Yes, I'm coining a new term, de-Jewified. To de-Jewify is to remove the Jew or the Jewishness from having any part in the new Christian religion of the second century and beyond. Perhaps the most striking thing about 1800 years of teaching about the bride of Messiah is not the presence of the Jew, or the fact that Paul, a Hebrew of Hebrews, betrothed whole churches to the Messiah, but the absence of the Jew through 1800 years of teaching on the bride of Messiah. The absence of Jewishness is perhaps the most important point that I can speak in mentioning these things, is the fact that the Jew has been totally extricated, and the Jewishness of the bride or the bridegroom, which I just told you, the Jewish wedding begins with the words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," as Jesus said to Jerusalem, "You will not see me again, Jerusalem, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And if Jerusalem doesn't see him, nobody will see him, because every tribe and every nation will see him coming on the clouds after Jerusalem calls for him. So it should be in the interest of every Gentile, of every Christian, of every believer, of every tribe, stripe, race, and color, that the Jews know their Messiah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So that's what is most striking to me about the story of the bride and the bridegroom, is the absence of the Jew, more than the fact that the Jew is actually the bride of Messiah. And not to say that, not saying that Christians are not the bride or cannot be the bride, but there is more to the picture than you've been taught. Amazingly, I have heard no mention of all, so I went searching, and it was just a slip or an accident leaving out the Jew from the story of the marriage?
I'm afraid it was very intentional, as have most of the teachings of Christianity that made it as though it were some new religion. For example, in Matthew 16, when Yeshua is at Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and he asks them, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Yeshua says, "Surely flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, Peter. And from now on I will call you Kepha," or Peter. "And on this rock," he says, "I will build my ecclesia." And in your English Bible, it says church. Well, this is a New American Standard Bible, and I use it because most of my audience are Christian, and I want to relate to you. "To the Jew I became as a Jew," the Bible says, "and to the Christian I became as a Christian." So to relate to you, I use a Christian Bible, not a Jewish Bible, because I want to be able for you to understand Jewish things, which I already understand. I don't need a Jewish Bible to explain that to me. Anyway, so with that said, it was intentional, removing the Jews. So at Caesarea Philippi, this is how important a word is. Just one word: church. And we said this last week, the word church directly translates from the Greek word kariakon, and I urge you to Google this. Google the word kariakon, K-U-R-I-A-K-O-N. And it comes out with church or building. It's a place for a meeting. It's a building, not necessarily a religious meeting either. A kariakon, and the word church is the English C-Y-R-C-E or C-I-R-C-E, church. In German, in Germanic, it's Kirk. Kirk, you've heard that word Kirk, Dunkirk, you know. So church is not related to the word ecclesia. Ecclesia are the people. They're not the building. Church means the building. So ecclesia does not mean church. So you could, if you're going to say that ecclesia is church, you could say ecclesia is pizza parlor. Or you could say ecclesia is car dealer. Or you could say ecclesia is baseball stadium. Or ecclesia is, because ecclesia does not mean church, it doesn't mean supermarket, and it doesn't mean baseball stadium. It means assembly, congregation, or gathering of people is what it means. That's what ecclesia means. It's the people, it's the assembly, it's the congregation. Okay, look. So why did they do that? Why was that word church put in there? Why did the Catholics do it? They weren't called Catholics when they did it. They were called Byzantines, and they were the precursor to the Catholic Church. Why did they put the word church in and not congregation? Let's think about this for a second. If Yeshua had said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my congregation," well, then you have a Jewish rabbi in Israel talking to 12 Jews, talking to 12 Jews and saying, "On this rock, on this truth that I'm the Messiah, I'm going to build my congregation." What you really have is the Messiah and the King of the Jews telling 12 of his apostles, the closest people he had in his circle, that he's the Reformation of Israel, that he is the Reformation, and that he is changing the Jewish religion. He's actually fulfilling it. He's fulfilling Judaism. He's actually fulfilling what the Torah, and we're going to talk about this too, what the Torah intended and was pointing to all along. He is the fulfillment of it. I'm going to get to that. He wasn't starting a new religion as the Catholics would have you believe. He was fulfilling Judaism. And so you have to ask the question,
and I talked about the trajectory, that a word can change the trajectory. One word can change the trajectory of history. We discussed a few weeks ago how if you shoot a rocket at Mars and you're 1 degree off, you'll be millions of miles away. When I was a young man, that was one of my favorite songs. She was a million miles away. She was a million miles away. Do, 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 do. I used to love that song, okay? Well, if you shoot a rocket at Mars, it's going to be a millions of miles away, okay? If you're 1 degree off. And it was probably King James. It was King James, as a matter of fact, because Tyndale was the first man to translate. And here's a little history for you. A guy named Tyndale, William Tyndale, I believe is his name. He translated the first English translation from the Latin Vulgate, I believe. Am I correct on that? Was it the Vulgate that he used? Whatever. He's the first guy to translate the New Testament into English. And he was burned at the stake for two things. One, for translating it. And two, for using the word congregation or assembly, mostly congregation instead of church. When he saw ecclesia, he actually translated it correctly. Correctly. He didn't put an incorrect word. Church is a myth. Church is a fantasy. Church is a unicorn. Church is Alice in Wonderland in reality. The whole concept of church is a fairy tale. And the fact that billions of people have believed in the fairy tale is like believing in the tooth fairy or believing in Santa Claus. These bishops of the King James. You can thank King James, who lived in around 1506, 1507, 1510, 1511, 1611. Sorry, 16. He came after Elizabeth, I believe, Queen Elizabeth. Didn't he follow Elizabeth? I think King James. I think he was the direct. Came right after Queen Elizabeth I. The Tudors had quite an impact on England, I'll tell you that. Anyway, so King James is the one you have to blame for creating the word church, because he changed the Bible. And God says he will remove your name. If you change one word of the Bible and you mess with the word of God, God says he will remove your name from the book of life. And this is serious stuff. And this one word, church, which isn't in there. It's not in the Bible. I looked at my Strong's Concordance sitting in the front row while Anthony was speaking. I looked up the word church, and every time it's used in the Bible, except for churches, one time is another word. Just totally different word. But every time it's used in the Bible, 150 times or whatever, it's ecclesia. And ecclesia does not mean church. Kariakon is church in Greek. You can't make, I don't know the best way I can explain this to you, you know, but a lion isn't a lamb, and a lamb isn't a giraffe. And an ecclesia isn't a church, and a dog isn't a cat. Although today you can be anything you want to be, so maybe that's basically what they did back then, just what they're doing today. But by saying that men can be women, and now they're putting men. You know this? They're putting men in women's prisons. And guess what? I saw this on the news last night. Women are actually getting pregnant in women's prisons. Isn't that amazing? They're putting transgender men in women's prisons, and women are somehow getting pregnant. Amazing that these people that identify as women are going into prisons, and women are mysteriously, they must be virgin births. I mean, this is incredible. And not only that, the state of California is actually at taxpayer expense handing out condoms to people in women's prisons to help them protect from pregnancy, from
transgender women. Isn't this this is amazing. It's what? Yes, it is stupid. Okay, let's go on. God help us. We live in a stupid world. So anyway, that's the impact. Just change. Why did they change the word? Why did they not call it the congregation? Because, again, going back, if Yeshua said, as a Jewish rabbi, to his Jewish disciples in Israel, that he was on the truth that he's the Messiah, he's going to build his congregation, he was the reformation of Judaism. He was the actual reformation of Judaism. He is the reformation of Judaism. The only problem is the non-Jews didn't want anything to do with the Jews. The early church fathers hated the Jews. So they did everything they could to de-Jewify, to take the Jewishness of the Jew of Christianity and make it something that looked totally foreign to a Jew. Jews look at Christianity, and as a Jew, I grew up Jewish. I was bar mitzvahed at the age of 13, circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew of Hebrews, just like Paul. And guess what? Growing up, I looked at Christians as something totally different than Jewish. Yes, they ate ham. My friends ate ham, and Mrs. Nancy, we had some Catholic friends that I used to play with around the corner, and the mother, when I was 5 years old, gave me my first ham sandwich, and I liked it. And I went home and I told my mother that I said, "How come we don't have this stuff? It was really good. It was on white bread with mayonnaise, and I really I liked it." And my mother said, "Oh, Joseph, we don't eat that. That's treif. In other words, it's treif. It's in other words, garbage. It's unclean." And I didn't understand why, so I kept eating ham sandwiches whenever I could get one. But, you know, I didn't taste like garbage to me. But I'm just being honest with you. And it goes quite good with turkey as well. But, anyway, enough about ham. Besides the fact that I am one. So... was it just a slip, an accident, leaving out the Jew from the story, from the whole story, you know, leaving the Jew out of the church? In fact, we were kicked out. In 325, we were actually kicked out of the church. Jewish believers and bishops were expelled by the Roman Emperor Constantine, the founder of Constantinople. You all know the song. Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've got a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Okay, Constantine named a city after himself, which is now Istanbul. Or is it? Yeah, it's Istanbul still. It's Turkey. Anyway, he really messed things up good. And so... Matthew 16 is another example of changing a word and sending that rocket to Mars a couple degrees off and not hitting the mark. Instead of a reformation of Jewish faith itself, the original Messianic Judaism, what if the Messiah had intended for his non-Jewish followers to keep Shabbat, like we do, as he did, together with Jews? What if he had intended for that originally? What if he had intended for you Christians to keep Passover and Sukkot as he did and his disciples did? But no, we were all taught at some point that Christ was the end of the law. Oh, how many of you were taught that Christ is the end of the law? Raise your hand. Or the Torah. End of the Torah. That we no longer need the Torah or the law. Okay. Standard Christian teaching. Most Christians are taught that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 10:4. So the law is done away with, right? I mean, that's what 99% of Christian Bibles say, isn't it? Christ is the end of the law. However, if you take a minute or two to look in your Strong's Concordance And look at the Greek word for that, Romans 10:4, for end. And the word is telos, T-E-L-O-S, as in telescope, meaning target or goal. A telescope helps you see and aim at the target you are trying to hit. In fact, the Torah was the telescope or pointing to the target, the telos, which was Christ. So the Torah was always aiming at the Messiah. So Christ is not the end of the law. He is the target of the Torah. He's the goal of the law. If you score the goal, if you hit the target, you get the most points, especially if you get the bullseye. Amen? If you're keeping score. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, whether you're shooting a bow and arrow or whether you're shooting a gun, whatever it is you're shooting or you're trying to hit a target with, you and if you have a telescope to help you hit that mark, then that changes things, doesn't it? If Christ isn't the end of the law, but if he's the goal or the target, he's what the law, the Torah, was pointing to. In other words, we don't do away with the law. And what does he say? Let's look in Matthew 5. He talks about the Torah himself. Let's look in Matthew 5. I believe it's 19. Almost there. This is a Bible, for those of you who've never seen one. Just kidding. You can find one at your local Christian bookstore if they still exist. Okay, Matthew 5. I would go get one while they still exist, because pretty soon they might not. And I wouldn't trust the ones online, because the internet may go down at any time. Okay, so Yeshua said in Matthew 5, what did he say about the Torah? 17, thank you, dear. Okay, Matthew 5, 17, okay, yes. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. In other words, I was the arrow that was to hit the bullseye of the Torah, that the Torah was pointing at. The Torah is the telescope, and I was the arrow or the bullet, if you would, that was to hit the center of that target. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law, from the Torah, until all is accomplished. Now they say law. Why don't they say Torah? Well, law sounds scary. Police, Roman soldiers, you broke the law. We're going to crucify you. You know? So law sounds like something barbaric, something mean, something painful, something that puts you in chains and locks you up in a dungeon in a nasty place where they throw a piece of bread through a bar and give you dirty water to drink, if they give you anything at all. So, you following me? They didn't use the real words. Christ is not the end. He's the aim. He's the goal of the law, of the Torah. He's the fulfillment of the Torah. But he didn't do away with it, and he says so, as we just read, and I'll read it again. Do not think, and this is not my words. This is the Lord, the word of God himself. Do not think that I, Yeshua, came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the Torah until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven? Study Torah. We do. I invite you to come every week. Anthony teaches Torah. I teach Torah. Come learn Torah and be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why be the least in the kingdom of heaven? How many pastors are going to be the least? You know, God says in his word he's going to judge teachers more harshly, more severely than he does regular the sheep. You know, he's going to judge teachers more severely because we have the capacity to lead people astray. How many pastors have taught? You all told me you raised your hands. Did you learn it from a preacher? Raise your hand if you learned it from a preacher that Christ is the end of the law. Well, that preacher's, if he's teaching people that, he's just saying, I'm going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven rather than one of the greatest. And Muhammad Ali, he told me on TV, he said, I'm the greatest. I float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He was great, wasn't he? When he could talk. All right. Wow, that really changes the meaning, not just of a word, but in my case, it changed my whole worldview of the Messiah. How believers interpret that one word, telos, is as the end of the Torah, or what the Torah was pointing to, the aim, the bullseye, the goal, that the Torah and Moses was leading us to all along, two very different meanings. How Christians interpreted that one sentence changed the course of history, my friends. Our job is to change it back. That's our job. Our task is to change it back. It's a big job. Then there is Easter. And then remember, this message is, what are words for? Basically, words are powerful. What are words for? Words are so powerful that they brought at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11 the unification of language and the purposes of man, the evil intentions communicated by man to one another, to the whole world, because they all spoke the same language. God said their intentions are evil, and if we let them continue, they will become like us. They will be like us. They'll be like God if we let them continue. And what are we doing today? We're rebuilding the Tower of Babel. Language is no longer a barrier. The whole world is speaking the same language. What do you call it? What's that race? Critical race theory, climate change, globalism, the global reset, all these things, ending fossil fuels, basically doing away with destroying a tremendous number of inhabitants of the earth will be the effect. Do you know that the very pavement in your driveway, I have a next door neighbor who wants to pave with asphalt about a foot long strip that goes about 15 feet. They want to charge him like $600 to $800 to put one foot strip of asphalt about 12 to 15 feet long. Why so much? Because the cost of petroleum. Asphalt is made with petroleum. What are they going to fix the roads with? You know, I don't know if you noticed this, but they haven't really done anything. This so-called infrastructure bill, it really does have no provision to fix the roads, because that would need a lot of petroleum to create the asphalt to redo the roads. Amen? So why, and they want to do away with petroleum, so they don't want to spend money on it. Amen? So what are we going to drive on? Well, I have a feeling they think we're not going to be driving. I have a feeling that only a very select few will be driving in 10 years from now, when gasoline is probably
15 or 20, the equivalent of 15 or 20 bucks a gallon today, in today's money, I'm guessing. 10 years from now, it'll be so hard to come by. The average person won't be able to afford it. Getting parts for your car then will probably be very difficult. And now, in this bill, in this so-called infrastructure bill, I saw on the news last night, 20 Republicans voted for it. It contains something about putting monitors in your vehicle that will monitor everything about you, your thoughts, your intentions, your feelings, your health, where you are, what you're doing, everything about you will be monitored, and you will no longer have privacy, or you will no longer have, you can't ever get in your car and get alone with God like you used to be able to, or get in your car and just scream. That's always a good thing to do when you're upset, is to just get in your car, not drive it, but just go somewhere quiet, like into a parking lot in a park somewhere, and scream at the top of your lungs and with the windows closed. It's a great way to have privacy. They want to take that privacy away from you. They don't. If you're smoking a cigarette, they'll know it. If you're smoking a joint, they'll know it. Whatever you're doing in your car, whatever you're saying, they'll be listening to. That's in this new infrastructure bill that the Senate is voting for. 20 Republicans are voting for it. It's insane. As far as I know, not one from Tennessee, but I'm sure Virginia's senators are probably voting for it. All right, let's go on. Don't mean to get into political stuff, but it's real. We are rebuilding the Tower of Babel, and God himself is going to come down and destroy it. You watch. Mark my words. All right. So how Christians interpreted that one sentence, Christ is the end of the law, changed the course of history, my friends. Then there's Easter in Acts 12:4 in the King James Bible. Does anybody have a King James Bible? Sharon, would you say loud and proud what Acts chapter 12, 4 says? Acts 12. Yes. So I'm going to, thank you, dear. So I'm going to read it, and I'm going to use the word you use that's in the King James Bible in Acts 12:4. I'm going to use the NASB. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after Easter to bring him out before the people. Now, this is in the first century. This is when Peter was alive, and he was arrested. I guess Herod had him arrested. So, but they were going to, it says in the King James Bible, it says, intending after Easter to bring him out before the people. They didn't celebrate Easter. There was no Easter in Israel. There was no Easter. Everybody say this. There was no Easter in Israel in the first century. Okay. No Easter in Israel in the first century. If you go, all you King Jamers out there, if you go to Strong's Concordance and you look up Acts 12:4, the word Easter in Greek is Pasqua, and it means Passover, as in Passover lamb. In other words, after Passover, the Romans were going to bring him out before the people. Not after Easter. What's that? Passover and Easter are not the same.
Jews never celebrate. You know, when I was a boy, my next door neighbor, Stephen Taub, very neo-Presbyterian, very liberal, and always had great Easter baskets with lots of awesome chocolate bunnies and chocolate Easter eggs. And he used to get one, and I used to say to my mom, why can't we do Easter? I want an Easter basket. I can't have a ham sandwich, and now I can't have Easter bunnies made of chocolate. You know, the Gentile is supposed to provoke the Jew to jealousy, but not jealousy of unicorns and fairy tales and tooth fairies and you know, things like that, but truth. That's the jealousy they were supposed to provoke us to. Yes, chocolate is good, and ham may be bad for you, but if you can get past that, sometimes it tastes pretty good. I ate it when I was 5. Okay. Let's move on. So Easter's not there. It's not in the Bible. Why did they put it in there? To de-Jewify the Bible, to take out, to remove any Jewishness from the Word of God, to create a new religion. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, in giving his dying testimony as he was being stoned, quoted, talked about the assembly in the wilderness. But in the King James Bible, it says he quotes the church in the wilderness in Acts chapter 7. There was no church in the wilderness with Moses. The church didn't even exist. You know, 1,400 years before Christ, there was no church. Everybody, let's say that. 1,400 years before Christ, there was no such thing as a church. Nada. It didn't exist. There was no church. Yeah, it was in the wilderness, all right. It was in Narnia. It was in somewhere in the Black Forest in Bavaria. I mean, there was no church. There were no steeple. There were no doors, and there were no people. It didn't exist. There were no bishops. There was no pope. There was no Vatican. There was no anything. Nada. It was the congregation, the assembly of Jews in the wilderness and non-Jews that were with them. There was a mixed multitude who came out of Egypt with them, and they were among them, but they didn't know what a church was. And they didn't know what a mosque was either, because a mosque didn't come until 711. Yeah, I think it was 711 when Muhammad established the new false religion of Islam. the new religions of the first I don't know what you say, the first millennium. After the Messiah, in 711, isn't that when Islam began? Was it 711? Something like that. What's that? It was in the 700s. Yeah. He created Islam, and so let's go on here. So you're starting to see the picture here. Everything, you're just totally taking the Jew and Jewishness, the very culture of God. The very culture of the Messiah, whose custom it was, it says in Luke 4, it was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Paul had the same custom, to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Didn't always preach, unless he was asked to. He didn't preach every week. Sometimes he worshipped. And if he was asked to speak, he would speak. But Paul didn't, I assure you, Paul didn't just go to the synagogue to preach at Jews. You know, when you're an evangelist, you preach when God opens a door.
And you're, you know, somebody asks you, well, so, where were you educated? What rabbi do you follow? Well, I follow Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one. Isn't he the guy that they killed because he claimed to be the Messiah? Yeah, he's the one. And he was died on a cross, and he was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. And if you believe that, you'll have eternal life. You know, when God opens a door, share. You know? So, all right. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? We're almost done here. So in Acts, Easter is no Easter in Acts 12:4. And there is no church in the wilderness in Acts chapter 7. The goal of even the church itself was to wipe the Jew from the entire picture of history. Only one problem. God chose the Jews to be his chosen people. And God chose the Jews to bring the oracles of God and to be the keepers, the custodians of the word of God. God chose the Jews to live and breathe the culture of God. And there are many Jews who do. As somebody, Anthony, said, Tel Aviv is Tel Av is wicked, something to do with wickedness. Tel Av, I forget what he translated it as. But, you know, there is great wickedness that goes on in Tel Aviv. It is a beautiful city like Sodom and Gomorrah. But there's a lot of sodomy and Gomorrah and Gomorrah going on there. Sodomy and Gomorrah going on in Tel Aviv. So there's a lot of stuff that shouldn't be going on, and crime as well, and sin and wickedness and adultery and stealing and all the broken commandments going on in Tel Aviv. But there's also righteous people, godly people in Israel, in Tel Aviv, and in Jerusalem, and all over Israel. You will find righteous people. But they're just like here. You got to sort through. You got to go through the multitude. Well, I'm almost done here, so let me finish up. So God chose the Jews, but the church, intention of the early church, was to wipe us from the entire picture of history. And if Martin Luther had his way, it would have been to destroy us from even existing. Hitler picked up on that and tried to accomplish that goal. Martin Luther said that in the end of his life, that Jews, our books, our holy books should be burnt. Our synagogue should be burnt down. We should be put to death. And Judaism should be put to an end. And Hitler got a hold of that. And Martin Luther was one of his great influences, among several others. A faith... So... Yeshua, what if Messiah didn't come to create a new religion, but to fix an old one in which he was born into, a faith expressed through holy days like Passover and Sabbath, Shavuot and Sukkot, tribes and traditions and a temple at Jerusalem, the very place of his throne where he will dwell forever, Zechariah 8, and where he will set foot when he returns to earth, Zechariah 14. Then the nations will keep his Sabbaths and his feasts. Isaiah 56, Zechariah 14, Isaiah 2 talks about the nations streaming to Jerusalem to celebrate his feasts, his Sabbath, to learn his ways and his paths. And Zechariah 14, 16, to keep the feast of Sukkot, or they will have no rain when the Messiah comes. And what was intended from the very foundation of the world will be restored to the earth in that day and to the nations. It will be a time when truth will reign and paganism and false religion will fall. No more will the Jewishness of his word be hidden on the day the Messiah comes. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace, Shabbat Shalom. God bless you all. We love you. Please join us. Come and worship with us on Saturdays. Or watch us online. You can sign up for my teachings. I send out a newsletter, teaching letter, not a newsletter. It's a teaching. It's about every 6 weeks. You go to forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake, no apostrophe S, just Z-I-O-N-S-A-K-E, forzionsake, F-O-R-S-A-K-E-Z-I-O-N. You can sign up for my teachings there, for our newsletter. It's free. And join in the Reformation. Hallelujah. God bless you, and Shabbat Shalom. The day the Messiah comes, the day the Messiah comes, we'll welcome him in, thank you, and ask where he's been. On the day the Messiah comes,
remember the bacon strips commercial?
What's that?
Remember the bacon strips commercial? The dog
treat? Yeah.
Messiah would come. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. rested when your work was done. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. We enter your rest by the work of your Son. Lord, we delight in your Shabbat. And the spell.